You don't have to be positive all the time. It's perfectly okay to feel sad, angry, annoyed, frustrated, scared, and anxious. Having feelings doesn't make you a negative person. It doesn't even make you weak. It makes you human. And we are here to talk through it all. We welcome you to These Fucking Feelings Podcast, a safe space for all who needs it. Grab a drink and take a seat. The session begins now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to These Fucking Feelings Podcast. I am Micah. I got producer and host Crystal over here with me, over there waving, thinking she's cute, but she not.
He knows I'm cute.
Yeah, she's cute. And then we got our guest today, and it's Ramen, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, because I was like, I do not want to mispronounce it, because I do. Oh. Look, I do that all the time.
Imagine that. I would freak out.
One thing on this show is we like to our guests to introduce themselves, only because I feel like no one can tell us about you more than you.
So, love it.
If you don't mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my name's Ramen. I mean, gosh, I'm so inclined to always talk about my job, right? Like, that's the first thing we go to. I work as an intuitive coach. But I'm just like, I'm another human, man.
Right.
and I'm out here on Vancouver Island. I love all things nature, and I love having really honest, vulnerable, hilarious conversations. So I'm really excited to be here. But in terms of my work, I really help people work on stress and anxiety and actually dealing with their effing feelings and all of that kind of stuff. So this is very exciting for me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. We're glad to have you here too. And we got some fucking feelings to talk about. So
let's go.
but I like it. It's the coolest thing. I think I never had a guest introduce themselves as human before. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
thanks for being human and allowing people to see you as a human. Now, intuitive coaching, how did you get into that? And I guess what is it essentially?
Yeah. So intuitive coaching is this weird branch of coaching where we use our intuition to help our clients. So it's not like I have a sheet of paper and you come in and we work on just like one worksheet and that kind of thing. We're trained to feel into what the client is experiencing just beyond what they're saying. So we might use our sense of feeling, right? So we might be able to feel the actual emotion they're feeling. We might be able to see beyond, like, you know, say they're stuck. We'll be able to feel what's keeping them stuck. So it might be like a past trauma or an experience that they keep, you know, that they're staying in, that kind of a thing. So yeah, intuitive coaching is super deep in that way. And the way that I got into it was because of my freaking feelings, man.
Right.
I was a mess. I grew up with a lot of anxiety. And what I learned was that a lot of my anxiety was just suppressed feelings.
Right.
I learned that I had all of these fears and experiences that were keeping me stuck in these anxious feelings. And I learned that through seeing an intuitive coach, which was kind of crazy how I met her too. It was just sort of by chance. I was looking for some guidance and help, and I had never gotten any counseling or therapy, but I started with coaching. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So I guess it's cool to learn that the intuitive part is on you and not on me.
Yeah. So, technically,
you got to be intuitive. Okay.
Yeah.
I never listen to my intuition, and I'd be mad that I don't. I just don't know why I don't, and I never do, and it always ends up wrong.
We've all done it.
And I can't stop. And it's like I be telling myself, ugh. And then it's like I probably could have saved lives with my intuition. Like, no joke. It'd be that, like, that detrimental, right? Like, these situations.
God.
Like, and I'd be like, I'm just gonna mind my business. I'm gonna leave it alone.
What have your experiences been? Like, saving lives? What's happening?
Well, no, I meant as far as like how the situation ended up afterwards. It was as, you know, it yes. ended up being like I could have prevented this
you
big tragedy. You know, and sometimes it has been tragedy. It was, you know, I always go back to this. Well, this is not even a. See, now you got me tongue twisted. Because I did have a situation, right? Really crazy, freaky situation, if you want to know. I dreamed about this girl, a dead body next to train tracks. Right?
Okay.
No, I'm lying. I'm sorry. And she was next to like a a fuel. Where do you live in Vancouver? I don't know. Do you got like those fuel tanks outside that they come and put fuel in and then they run inside for the heat kind of thing? But so it was like a fuel tank. So outside the house was like this big tank. You know what I'm talking about, Crystal?
Like, no.
Oh my God. It's like, do I gotta find a picture on my phone? Fuel tank.
Well, I know what a fuel tank looks like.
Yeah,
like a propane thing. Like a,
but it was next to a house, so like these houses were old, and so they had like tanks on the outside that gas companies used to come and they fill up, and then they used to run into gas heaters.
Well, I have a kerosene thing outside my house.
Right, so something
like a big tank.
Yeah, and so that's, it was something to that extent. But in my dream, it was a dead girl next to that tank behind this house. I knew the color of the house. I knew what the girl looked like. And I could just describe it every day. The day I stopped dreaming about her, they found her body.
Stop. Did you know this girl?
I didn't know her. And it was crazy because I dreamed about her for like a week. And what made it so bad was like I told everybody about it because that's how much it bothered me. I was calling my friends like, oh, my God, I keep having this dream and I can't get out of it. And every time I sleep, it's the same dream. And it was like, so when it happened, and what was crazy was that it was, I was in New York and it happened in Virginia, but it happened the way I described it. And my friends live in Virginia and they called me and they're like, they found the girl you were talking about. Like, look this name up. And it was like exactly how I described it. Her body was next to the fuel tank, next to this peach house, you know, what the rust was. It was
chills.
Crazy. It was pretty. Look, I knew so many details. I thought they was going to come ask my ass some questions.
The fact that you said, oh, well, I don't need to have intuition. Like, you're the one who deals with the intuition, right? That is just, I mean, that proves that everyone is intuitive in their own way. Mm-hmm. But what you're describing is clairvoyance, like the ability to see, right? The dreaming and the visuals. I think a lot more people have that than we think. I know one of my girlfriends had a dream and she said it wasn't even a dream. She said it felt like a vision that she got into a car accident. And then, you know, a few months later, she got into that exact car accident. So it's just, you know, you wonder.
Okay, but now is it...
Oh, here we go.
Right. Because it's like, okay, is it that? Is it like the clairvoyance or is it like manifestation?
Well, I think with yours specifically, if you think about how just specific it was and to the T, like why would you be trying to manifest that in your dreams?
I guess I was talking about your friend.
Yeah.
I don't want to manifest nobody dying.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you manifesting? No, with my friend, I mean, she could just be that freaking powerful.
That'd be dope. We need to meet your friend. Either way, she's still powerful, right?
Yeah. Either way, she's super powerful. But I do feel like she has those visions because she's told me about some other ones that didn't have to do with her.
Right. Mm.
So it's like, yeah, we're all intuitive. That we're so deeply connected.
And my problem is that I don't listen to it because it's like I'd never want to overstep a boundary.
Mm.
You know? So I grew up with a lot of trauma, like a lot of trauma. So another part of me is I really don't want to deal with people either. And you're like, but you have a podcast. Trust, this is overextending myself because I believe that people need to heal. Because right now I'll be at home doing nothing with myself and like loving it, you know. But I have a lot of intuitive. It's like I know things are going to happen. It's like I could have stopped it. But no, you wanted to mind your business. And now it's World War III. In my house, you know.
Dang.
So, yeah. So when did you know that like you were intuitive and that was kind of like a gift? Because I feel like it's a gift.
I'd say it's a gift, but I would also say it's like one of those things that comes so naturally to people. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I was intuitive until I was trained. Like I actually acquired, well, it's funny. I say acquired the skill, but it was really just learning that, oh, I've been intuitive all along. And so are we all. So I was actually trained through my coaching course. We did a very, we did like a weekend intensive on doing intuitive readings on each other. And that was the first time I was like, what? I'm saying the randomest shit to people. I'm like, hey, I keep seeing horses for you. And she's like, no way. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's wild how powerful we are. And we just don't know it because no one is using it, or we'll get the hunch and we won't follow the hunch. I'm so fascinated by the fact that we get a hunch.
Right.
Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. Like we just get a feeling and it always ends up being right.
Yeah.
Like, I know every time my man cheating. No, but don't most women, don't? Isn't that like an intuitive thing that they say, like, women know? Like, you know when your man ain't doing right. And
I've heard. I've luckily haven't been in that situation, but I've heard.
Yeah, you lucky. I hope it don't ever happen.
So don't be manifesting it for me.
I feel like every woman just needs to experience. No, I'm just joking.
Stop. Now, for a man.
I'm just joking. God. Really, really, guys, I'm just joking. You know me. I am pro-woman, okay? My mama is a woman. I love women, okay? So, but no, seriously. So, when would I know that I wanted to seek intuitive therapy? Would you call it therapy?
Yeah, intuitive coaching. So it really depends. I feel like every coach is so different, right? So I specifically help people with like healing the deeper stuff, right? So if you don't want to go deep, don't come to me. But it's...
That's your slogan.
Yeah, that should be. Why haven't I used that? Kind of fun. Yeah, so for me, I work specifically on stress and anxiety because it's something I've experienced so much of. So I've been able to create a lot of, you know, processes and things like that to help people with that. I find, and this might sound weird, the clients that come to me are like, they're very drawn to me. And I think that happens with every therapist, counselor, coach, anyone who's doing work like this, just like how I was drawn to my coach. Right. It's very, there's a spiritual vibe to it, right? Just
connection.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot of the time when I meet my clients, I'm like, oh, there you are. Like, it feels like it was sort of destined to happen, or they just feel drawn to me and I feel drawn to them. And it just feels like the right fit. Yeah.
Because I'm like, I need a coach because I got a lot of stress and anxiety. Okay.
So what can you do with a client? They come to you.
I thought you were going to say like client like Micah. And I was like, girl, why you got to do me like.
Let's go. Client
like Micah, who is overwhelmed.
I am a bit overwhelmed. So let me tell you, right. I just got re-diagnosed with cancer.
Really?
My mama has to have heart. Well, first of all, re-diagnosed with cancer 2 months before my fourth year of being in remission.
Oh, no. Right?
Then my mama got to have heart surgery in March, and she's been going through this downhill battle. Then I managed truckers, right? And I'm not a parent, but I imagine that managing truckers are a lot like being a parent, because when my phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, I am scared to death that somebody got in an accident.
Someone hit a pole. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That they're okay. Like, yeah. I hate when my phone makes any noise. I'm like, I don't want to look at it. But you got to look at it. I don't want to look at it. Just say you were asleep. No, I can't. You got to look at it. You know, like, I go through, like. So, and then to top that off, right? No, I'm just joking. It's not that
bad. He has to deal with me all day.
I got
to
deal with this chick all day.
Which is probably, like, the top of the... If we were to work together, we'd probably put that at the top of priorities for dealing with... No, kidding.
No, Crystal is amazing. And honestly, she helps so much with my mental health. And I have a really good job and team at job. I don't want to work no more. Sorry, I don't want to work no more.
Oh, you're a tough client.
Oh my God. Okay. I've been working my whole life. Okay.
20 years.
And no, you see, I came out the womb working. You hear me? Okay. You're like, I came out with a screwdriver, a hammer, and some glitter.
I was going to say, just not that long ago, you said you came out hitting.
Oh, I did. Well, so it's a joke in my family that my mom knew I was gay when I was in her stomach.
Because, oh, wow.
Because I didn't kick her. I used to hit her, be like, so that's how she knew I was gay. But she did say that she knew I was her gay child when I was in the womb.
Oh, my gosh. For real?
Like, she knew. Yeah, she knew. She said she prepared everybody. She wanted to prepare everybody. And I'm like, well, damn, Heffa, you could have told me, because it took me 22 years to discover, yes, I'm gay, because everybody told me I was going to hell. So
Heffa is good, just so you guys know. Oh, yeah.
And sorry, Mama, because she watches these episodes.
It's good.
It's good. It's a good thing. So anyway.
It's amazing.
But back to my question.
Before you go further, Crystal, now help me.
What would you do? Like, what does it look like? Like, do I find you on a computer? Do I go to you? What does the first session look like, basically?
Yeah. So most of my clients are online. Where are you, Micah, in the world? I don't think you're on Vancouver Island.
No, we're in New York. Sorry, upstate
New York.
Okay, cool. So, so we would meet online over Zoom. And the first thing we would get you to do is, and this is the part that everyone does not like doing, but we got to do, is feel your freaking feelings about it. Because I think a lot of the time,
I'm good with that. So I'll be good.
You're good with that. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Awesome. Yeah. And really just like, because a lot of the time what we do is we like intellectualize, we think about, we talk about the things we're going through, but we don't really like bring it down into our heart and like really let ourselves feel it. And a lot of the time, if we just were to actually bring that into our heart, like drop it down into our body, a lot of the sort of overwhelm around it just dissipates. So that's the first thing we would do is like really get you into your body. Cause again, and this is such a normal thing that we all do in our society is we stay in our heads all the time.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this is the trucker's calling, like whatever, all of that.
Right.
But it's like bringing it into our body helps because our body's so intelligent and it always has, answers for us. And now, so
like exercises, is it through exercises? Sorry not to cut you off. I want you to continue, but I wanted to know, what is it through the exercises or different tasks and those kind of things?
Yeah. So it's mostly like, okay, if I were to take you through a process, what I would do is I would get you to go into your body and feel. Do you want to do it right now?
Sure. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. It's up to you. We don't have to, but
no, if you're down. I'm fine. It's free. So let's do it.
It's free 99, my favorite price. Okay. Yeah. So tune into your body and I want you to go to where the discomfort is in your body. So, you know, imagine that you're even like, you're getting the text from the trucker, whatever it is, go to where that is in your body. Where do you feel it? Where's like the first place?
My butt.
All right. Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a first. I haven't gotten that before. Okay. You got it in your butt. Sure. Oh, that came out funny. Okay. So I'm sorry.
I was going to say gut.
It was in your gut.
It was in my gut.
Okay.
Okay. Gut and butt. Sure. So wherever you feel that, and again, I've never gotten butt before, so this is a unique experience for me as well. Wherever you feel that, I want you to just like tune into that, feel into that, allow yourself to feel into whatever sensation it is, whatever discomfort it is, and breathe into that area. I want you to almost breathe in and imagine you're breathing into that area. And then when you breathe out, I want you to imagine that your breath is going through that area and just...
I see why it was hard for me. Okay. But no,
I'm glad you guys have a sense of humor. Okay. Yeah. And so feel into it. And then I want you to tell me, what color is it? Like what color is the energy of that discomfort? And you'll know it like the first one.
Pink.
He said pink.
Okay, perfect. And so staying with that, I want you to tell me what the texture is. Is it like spiky? Is it slimy? Like what's the texture of the energy of that discomfort?
Like sandpaper. Like
that. Okay, perfect, perfect. And staying there, continuing to breathe. Awesome. Continuing to breathe. I want you to tell me if it's warm or cold or what's the temperature of it?
It's warm.
It's warm. Yeah, perfect. And now if that energy, I want you to stay in the energy. Don't go to your head because I know that you're like, boop, you like easily go into your head, but just, I want you to stay in that energy. If that energy, that pink sandpaper, warm energy had a voice, I want you to just fill in the blanks. It would say, I feel
tired.
Yeah, perfect. And just breathe into that. You're doing awesome, by the way. I feel tired. I feel tired because
life is hard.
Yeah. Perfect. It's sandpaper hard.
Is it?
And just staying there, allow yourself to just continue to breathe in that area. Life is hard because...
It's like I don't have one answer.
Yeah. What's the first thing that pops into your head?
So many things. That's what's wrong with my mind, right?
That's okay.
I say guilt.
Okay. And what is the guilt about?
That I don't want to be weighed down by other people's problems anymore.
Wow. That's huge. And just let yourself breathe into that. And at this point, we could get into the other stuff that's coming up as well, but just, you know, we'll stick with that. And we're going to answer one or two more questions here. Feeling into that area, what is it that Micah needs right now?
A break.
Mm-hmm. And what would that look like?
Peace.
Yeah. And what would Micah do that would feel like peace?
Whatever I wanted to do.
I love it. Okay, you can come back whenever you're ready.
I am ready. Yeah. It's like, I just want to do what I want to do. You know, I feel like I just need to sleep for like a year and then I'll be good. But it's like, I just need like a break, a consistent, peaceful break without like trauma and I don't know, negativity. And, you know, I'm a very joyful person.
Yeah.
And I like joy to everybody. But I think I'm at a point in my life where I'm good right now. And I have a lot of people that are not.
Yeah, that's hard.
Hard to be happy when they're so sad. You know, it's hard to celebrate my life when they feel like they can't celebrate theirs. And I just want to break from that feeling.
Right.
I want to be able to celebrate myself and enjoy what I'm doing and, you know, how, where I climb to. You know, it's like I done climbed a lot of mountains and I'm at the top, but I can't jump and look at the view because I'm still trying to bring y'all asses up.
Right. That's heavy. You're bringing their asses up. You know what I mean?
It's all about the ass with me.
It's all about the ass. I'm sorry.
No, it's great.
I had to take it there. Yeah, and that's hard. And, you know, do you give yourself permission to take breaks?
I do and I don't. So I'm a caretaker for my mom, and she's going through a lot of health issues.
Right.
I'm limited on the breaks I can take.
Okay. That's good. As long as you can, you know, whatever breaks you can take, that's huge. And in terms of the guilt, I find that a lot of people, when we care so much about the people around us, our love, sometimes it's like our love gets shown through guilt. But one thing that I found is really helpful is almost, instead of taking the route of guilt, taking the route of compassion. Like, I just fucking love you so much. And I just have so much compassion for you.
Right.
How does that feel? Does that feel like it's accessible?
Well, it is. You know, one thing I always say is compassion is free. It's respect that has to be earned, you know? So.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Yeah. So it's like, cool. I'm very compassionate to everybody. And I kind of love everybody too. I'm just one of those people, like, I could just meet you and I'm like, oh, I love you so much already. Look, I just squish your face.
Yeah.
She was like, he crazy. You don't need a therapist. You need a hospital. I hear you. That's my intuition. Okay. I'm reading you now.
What is wrong with him?
Stop. No, I don't think that at all. I think you're such a light. And sometimes people who have so much light can also just feel the weight of things a lot too. So, yeah.
And I think that's where it came when I said my butt, because my butt always feels heavy. And it's not because I got a big ass, even though it is nice. but it just, It's like weight. It's always like that weight of everybody trying to pull me down. It's like the crabs in a barrel. And I hate to call the people I love crabs.
Oh. And your bot.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, so that's an example of what we would do for an emotional process to have you feel your feelings. And then asking yourself what you need, like when you go into the feeling, is really helpful.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then so when will people know, like, hey, this is a sort of therapy that I should seek? Like, I should seek. You know, until I started doing a podcast, half of the therapies that are available to people, I didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there I did that. So, many.
So I damn sure didn't know nothing about no intuitive coaching, you know? And so it's like, and then when I heard about it, I was thinking about, oh, you're going to teach me how to use my intuition? Like, I don't want to use it, okay? But no, I really do want to use it. I just can't. It's like a shield or something that stops me. But anyway, so, you know, I didn't know that, intuition coaching existed. It sounds like it'd be helpful. I feel like in that moment I had is like it made me realize some things in just like 2 minutes. I was like, you almost had me crying over here. If you would have kept going, you would have saw a tear. I was
like, I would have made you cry eventually. Yeah. Yes.
Oh my god, it was coming. I was like,
I never seen him cry, so don't do that.
Look, I was over here with my eyes closed and I was like, is that a tear?
Oh my god.
And then what pissed me off, she was like, get out your head. I was like, ooh. Because I was over here thinking like you was about to make me cry, right? With this pink sandpaper, okay? You know?
So. I love the pink sandpaper. That's so fun. It has a little pink in it. That's fun.
Right. But yeah. So when would people know, or when would people seek? Or is it just, can you like deal with anybody? I know. She's like, can you just ask one question? I'm going to shut up.
Okay. So, I can basically help anyone that wants to be helped. Typically, if someone comes to me and they're like, yeah, you know, I was kind of curious about the coaching thing, but I don't really know, like that, I usually can't help because I'm like, I don't think you know what you want, you know? And so if someone comes in and they're like, I had a client, the reason that I started focusing more on stress and anxiety is because this client was having a panic attack every second day. And I was like, let's go. Let's stop this. This doesn't have to be your life every second day. And after a couple months of working together, she was like, oh, I haven't actually had a panic attack for a while. And I was like, what? That's insane. And so it's usually the clients that come to me are like ready for the healing, right?
Hey, I need this over and done with.
Yeah, let's go. And I find that I would say unfortunately, but maybe fortunately, a lot of the time when we're really ready to heal is when things are really hard. Right. And that's when we're like, oh, I can't handle this anymore. I need to get help. And that can also be like the biggest catalyst for the greatest growth in our life. So again, not everyone has to be having panic attacks, though. I help a lot of people with purpose as well. I really love the you know, being of service in the world and loving what you do. I love that. And one of the ways that I started just becoming a lot more happier in my life is when I started to find work that was more purposeful. So I help a lot of my clients with purpose, and I've helped like coaches and therapists and authors and things like that get their voice out into the world and stop hiding.
Right. Now that's pretty cool. So now we're talking about people that's searching, right? But now I want you to talk about, well, I want us to talk about people that are not searching. Because we know there's still a big stigma on mental health. And in order to have a mental health issue, it means you're crazy or some other word that you don't like. So now I just ain't going to admit that something's wrong with me. What do you say, or what kind of advice or what recommendations will you give somebody who's at that? Like, I'm secretly watching this podcast, but I ain't gonna like you on Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna friend you.
Yeah. I'm just like watching your stories.
Right. But there are people out there that just don't know that they need the help. You know, it's like, is there anything that you can say to a person to make them look within themselves to say, hey, maybe I need to look, if it's not into this therapy, some kind of therapy, because there is something that I need to heal from.
Yeah. Well, if you feel like there's something you need to heal from, or if you feel like there is like a nagging feeling in you that where you just know intuitively that something's off, that maybe you're not living the life that you're, that you wanted to live or that feels good. I think that's a really good time to seek some guidance. And it's not even, you know, it doesn't have to be like, oh my God, I'm so unwell. It could just be you realizing that there's so much more to life than just kind of like coasting or not being
for roll-ups. Like that's an issue. If you sleep with a box of fruit roll-ups, that's an issue, right?
Yeah. Or like if you feel
no, because I sleep with a box of fruit roll-ups. Okay.
So I'm telling you that's an issue. No, I'm kidding.
That's why I said no.
I do have a snack drawer, but a lot of it is pretty healthy, I'll say. She
reminds me of Carissa.
She is over here throwing shade, but you know, look, it's like I could turn a shade tree into a money tree. So bring it on. Okay.
Let's go. No, I mean, no, but in terms of like, if the actual actions that people are taking that aren't super healthy, if you feel like you're always distracting yourself, you're scrolling on your phone, maybe you feel like a little bit off and you just keep scrolling your phone thinking that's going to help you, but then it doesn't help you. Maybe you're constantly watching Netflix, but you don't feel fulfilled by it. You're just like, I'm just watching these shows because it's what I've always done, but I'm not super happy with it. When I watch my shows, I'm like, let's go. I'm so excited to watch my shows. And then as soon as I feel myself just like binging and I'm like, this isn't making me happy anymore, that's a problem, right? So if we're distracting, if we're running away from our feelings, if we are, obviously there's so many more, there's just so many distractions that we can get into. I find that that's a huge telltale sign of I'm not happy.
Well, it's pretty dope that you said that, because a lot of times, you know, we always tell people, oh, if you don't feel safe, or if you feel like your environment's not good, or if you feel like you're gonna hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. So, you know, it's like we put these really big things when it's as simple as a distraction that can be a tell sign that maybe you need to, you know, for a person to be human and say that they don't have something they need to heal from is a lie. Mm-hmm. Okay. In my opinion, I'm sorry. I don't know if everybody agrees that, but I feel like there is nobody in this world that has everything perfect. You don't have some kind of trauma. Somebody didn't affect you in some kind of way that makes you feel some kind of way and it's triggered. Mm-hmm. You know, and it catches you off guard and makes you mad. You don't even know why. You know, it's like there's things, but it's right. It's sometimes it's just distracting yourself that should be, you know, a clue. You know, because I guess life should be fulfilling. It's like right. In that statement, you talk so much because it's like life should be fulfilling. Even mm-hmm. when you're just watching TV, it should be fulfilling. When you're mm-hmm. eating a meal, it should be fulfilling.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then we need to do something that's more fulfilling. Okay.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good. I summed it up good.
That was a great summary. Yeah. I don't even know what I said. So thank you. Sometimes I just talk and I'm like, I don't know what I just said, but
you said all
I meant it in the moment, but I don't remember what I said.
She was like, I got to go back and watch this. You should put it in the book. You know what I'm saying? But that's only if I play the episode. And don't go write a book off all this. And it's going to be called Pink Sandpaper. You know?
Oh my God, stop.
If you see that,
there you go. Oh.
Pink sandpaper. But no, seriously. So it's pretty cool. It's just a distraction. And now, do you work alongside of like psychiatrists, therapists? Like, do you recommend that people still get those kind of therapies if they're seeking it and if it's beneficial to them?
Yeah.
Work with or
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm such a like take a holistic approach. You know, go get a massage, go get acupuncture, like do all the things that you feel drawn to. And all the healing modalities work in their own ways.
So now what you watch? What's your show right now?
Okay. What am I watching? Oh, I love Queer Eye. So I'm on the latest season of Queer Eye.
Or like it's old and you're just watching it.
It's the newest season of Queer Eye. It just came out like a few weeks ago.
I didn't even know they had a new Queer Eye show. Like,
I've never even heard of it before.
Have you never heard of Queer? Oh my God, you guys.
No, I've heard of it, but I didn't know like it was like I remember years ago, you know, because I'm so young, when it was on. I didn't ever know like it came back. Like it was
Yeah, there's a new season. I don't know what season it is because I can't keep up with these things, but it's a new season. And I enjoy that. I love watching people get their life made over and also just have more of like an emotional, they have like an emotional wellness component of it, which I love. I am watching Love is Blind, which is just so, it's great.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, so I watched that. Yeah, and then I like watching movies. I love movies. I just finally watched The Notebook, which only took me 28 years to watch.
And I never watched it either, right? Because I feel like I'm going to be like annoyed with it because it's just so annoying. Everybody talks about it and I'm like.
Why do we do that as humans? Look, I do that too.
That love don't exist. Like that love does not exist. Okay. Very and then how you gonna find it in A Notebook? I don't even know what it's about.
Wait. Okay. No, you have to watch it. No, the reason I started watching it is because I was talking to someone on Bumble and he was like, he liked romance. I'm like, oh, what's your favorite movie? I like romance. And he said The Notebook. And I'm like, oh, frick.
You think it's true though? Or you think like that's what he's like?
No, it's true. So the T is he, I'm not going to say where he's from, but he's from a foreign country. And he said he came to Canada to learn carpentry because of the character in The Notebook who's doing woodwork. And I'm like, you changed your life because of the Notebook.
The Notebook and not the Bible. So you don't want to be like Jesus, but you want to be. No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
Anyway. He did. Yeah. So anyway, it was a cool story. And then I was like, well, shit, I feel like I need to watch The Notebook. So I watched The Notebook. I like The Notebook. Yeah. I watch a lot of movies. I like movies. Okay. What do you guys watch? What are you watching?
So right now I'm watching Black Cake, right?
Black Cake.
It's on Hulu.
Mm.
First episode, I was like, oh, this is trash. I can't get into it. But I was on a flight the other day and I'm scared of flying. So I have a tablet and I download movies to kind of keep me distracted. That and weed. But so while I was watching, it was the only show that was downloaded on my tablet. I forgot to download any other show. I was mad as a bitch, right? So I had to watch episode 2. Hooked.
Oh, okay, good.
I did not want to get off the flight. They was like, sir, we got to start loading our next passengers. And I'm like, 5 more minutes?
Stop. There's a reason you downloaded it. That's awesome.
I downloaded it because it sounded good. But like, I'm one of those people, like, if you don't get me in the first episode, I can't. I just can't do it. So there's a lot of shows that I've only been like one episode in.
This time I
was forced to watch the second episode and I'm like, this show is incredible.
Well, good
like,
thing then.
Oh my God, what's gonna happen? Like I'm hooked. Like I can't wait to leave your ass so I could go home and watch some Black Cake. Okay.
I love it.
Sorry. And then I'm actually watching the Avatar 2, the little show on Netflix.
Are you watching the cartoon version or the new one? The live action. I've heard it's good.
Oh, it's awesome.
Is it?
And I didn't even know I would like that. It's another plane. That was another plane situation.
That's what he does on planes to keep his mind.
It's like I just download random things and I don't know why. I thought it was Avatar the movie, like the last Airbender movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And when I saw it at first, I was like, this is corny. This looked like I could have made this with my iPhone. And then I realized it was a show. And I was like, oh, but it ended up being like really good too. Like now I'm stuck. Yeah. I'm it got me thinking all spiritual and shit. Like, I wish I could ban some air. Actually, I would want to do the stone. I would want to do stone.
Oh, the stone would be so badass.
Because it's like, I can make walls that people can't get through.
Whoa, that's a deeper issue. I'm not analyzing anything else.
did I make you quit? I'm quitting.
That's it.
It's only been 38 minutes and you're tapping out already.
I know. That's all it took, man. I'm kidding.
This is not selling you.
Well, I'm glad you're watching that. That's a really good show. It's one of my favorite shows of all time, like the cartoon version.
See, I never even knew there was a cartoon version. I watch TV with my mom, so that's like our together time. Mm-hmm. So I'm forced to watch every doctor show that ever exists, right? And then we still watching Law and Order, you know, because what's that chick name? The Benton chick. Ain't she like a captain or something now? She's been there forever.
The short hair?
Yeah. No, the main character of like Law and Order SVU.
Well, she had short.
You don't watch Law and Law and Order SVU have been around for like 30 years. Where you been?
Not me.
Really? You don't know who that is?
I watch like fluffy stuff.
She said
I watch a lot of stuff. A lot of fluffy stuff on the
Crystal, what's up? What you watching right now?
48 hours.
Okay, so now you want to talk about digging into something. Crystal is one of those people that knows everything is going to happen the wrong way. Okay. It's gonna fuck up. It's just gonna be fucked up. It's gonna fuck up. You hear me? It don't matter what it is, it's gonna fuck up.
I heard
if
you.
She yeah. is involved, it's gonna fuck up. No, that's how she looks at things. I'm not saying that's what happens. This is
okay.
She thinks the worst case in every single thing. It's like, yo, I just offered you a piece of gum. It's not laced, okay? Like,
oh, do you catastrophize? That's a thing.
So my son, he is getting, what is it called?
Deported. No.
Not deported.
Your son's getting, what?
Deployed.
What podcast am I?
Wrong D word. Abort.
Oh my gosh.
Deployed. He's in the army.
Okay.
Everything, you know, I know myself that he's going to be fine, but my mind keeps going to, like, after listening to all these, you know, PTSDs, and they're like, thinking he's going to come home and murder his wife and his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is.
We do have a lot terrible. Of veterans up here, but yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's everything. He coughs, and I'm like, he's going to die on me.
Oh my gosh.
I can't even.
Like, she walks
handle.
In and look in my office, and I'm like, what is you looking at?
I had people that had cancer and that have died. So he was like, not that long ago, he used to have this cough that I knew somebody that had that. So I'm like, oh, I don't like that cough. And we work with somebody else, and she knew the person that had that cough. So I'd always say to her, like, he has the cough. Which you probably never knew that.
No, I didn't. I'm like,
but I'm always thinking.
I'm over here like, oh, she does love me.
I'm always thinking, like,
even though
so
she thinks
bad.
I'm gonna die, she does love me.
Like, so bad, and it's bad. It's bad that I think that way.
Now, can you help that?
I can talk a little bit about that. Yeah, I mean, so your brain genuinely thinks it's helping, right? Like, if you were to like just look at it very objectively. That's a helpful thing, like for you to associate that cough with a cough you've heard before and then go, oh, let's maybe get this checked out. That's a really helpful thing. So the brain's actually wired to do that. One thing that I find helpful is, I don't know if you've heard of habit loops. Okay. So basically every habit that we have, and worrying is a habit, for example, judging ourselves is a habit. And then obviously like working out and whatever, all that stuff is a habit. Fruit roll-ups is a habit. So basically there's three parts of a habit loop. And the first part is a trigger. So the trigger could be someone coughs, right? And then there's the behavior that happens in our brain. So your behavior is your brain goes straight to, oh my God, he coughed. And it's sort of like a control mechanism of like, let me control this. Let me make sure this doesn't get out of hand. Let me make sure that, you know, it doesn't end up being bad. And so our brain does this. And then the last part of it is the reward. It's like a negative feedback loop. So the reward is the brain thinks, oh, I'm controlling this. So this is a good thing, right? The trigger is he coughs. My behavior towards this is I'm going to try to control this by, you know, remembering someone else who had a cough, and maybe I'll take him into the walk-in clinic or whatever. And so your brain is getting a reward every time it does that. Does that make sense so far?
Well, it's not really a reward because I never told him.
Okay. But your brain, even just the thinking, like the thought pattern is a reward. So basically it's a negative feedback loop. And anytime we think that we're getting a reward from something, we will keep doing it.
Right. And it's like a loop because you're getting feedback, right? Because
you're
totally getting self-feedback. So that's where the loop comes in.
Yeah. So like, and so then
the thought, the feedback, and then, you know.
Exactly. And so what we can actually do is we can disrupt the loop, right? So for example, one thing that I have used this with is worrying. So if I get any sort of anxious feeling, the first thing my mind goes is, oh shit, anxiety, what's wrong? What's going on? There's something wrong. Right. And so that basically for my habit loop, it's the trigger is I feel anxious for whatever reason. And then the behavior is I start worrying about like, what could this anxiety be? And that's also worry is a form of trying to control. And so the And so I'm getting a reward every time because my brain thinks I'm controlling the situation. So every time I feel anxious, my brain automatically would go to worry. Does that kind of make sense? Mm. So in order to break this, what we can do is, if you talk to any neuroscientist, no one's going to tell you to try to break a habit through willpower alone because it doesn't work. So in order to break it, what you want to do is you want to start to identify every time you're triggered. And instead of going straight to that worry, or even if you do go to the worry, it's okay. Ask yourself, what is the payoff here? Like, what am I getting out of this? Because there's a reward happening. So if you can identify what the reward is, okay, this is me getting like so into it. Tell me when to stop.
No, you're no. doing great. I'm over here. I'm like, she is good.
I'm going crazy here. Let's go. Okay. So once you identify like, okay, so the payoff here, every time I worry is that my mind genuinely thinks that I'm controlling the situation. That's the payoff. And you want to just keep asking yourself that question. What is the payoff? What am I getting out of this? If you ask yourself that 10 to 15 times, what will happen is you will become, it's called disenchanted. You become disenchanted with the reward and you realize the reward's not worth it. And then you will automatically start shifting out of that habit. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
So do it like 10, 15 times. I know it's a lot, but just keep doing it. Like every time you hear the cough or like if you get triggered, just stop and go, okay, like what is the reward happening here?
And now I'm all about your healing, but don't let it interrupt your work. Okay. No, we haven't, you know, messed up Bill Ladens because you over there trying to. No. Oh, yeah.
So again, my daughter, Madison, she had broke her arm. So now every time somebody even falls or anything like that, or even picks their kid up by their arms, which I can't stand. My mind always goes to, they're going to break their arm or they're going to get hurt or they're going to do this. It is. He's so right. I go so negative.
Wow. Whatever the worst possible situation. If there is a negative to it, Crystal will think of the worst negative. Yeah. I'd be like, damn, I just sneezed. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez,
I got allergies.
Okay. Well, your brain is very, very intelligent then. And you can use that intelligence elsewhere.
Oh, we know you're a doctor. We know you're a doctor. Okay, so, but did you listen to what she said? You could use that intelligence elsewhere. Right? Yes, yeah. You can use that intelligence elsewhere. So, don't be trying to see and get off the little healing. Said now, okay, start using their smarts elsewhere. Like, matter of fact, you could just start doing my job so we could just practice on, like, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, and so now you could just do what I do since you so damn smart.
Oh my God. Well, he wants a break from his job. This feels like I'm getting.
I deal with the same truckers out.
Yeah, we work together in the day and we work together at night. And when we leave here and we stand on the corner, we still together.
Yeah.
We got a package deal.
Oh,
I don't think she got that part. We stand on the corner after here.
We go.
Like
what's the difference between an enzyme and a hormone?
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Let me really think about this. Enzyme and hormone. I don't know the definitions. I don't know the difference in the definition.
You can't hear a hormone.
Okay, stop it. That took me way too long, first of all.
He asked me this. So I'm like, oh my God, he's asked a serious question. Now he's in the hospital, just so you know. When he's asked me,
yes. I was in the hospital. Look, hooked up the IV fluids. And I'm over here texting her like, hey, what's the difference between an enzyme and a hormone?
Stop. Well,
I'm in it. You know?
I was in it. I was trying to figure out a definition.
I'm texting my daughter. I'm like trying to figure this out.
And I'm like, she's taking too long to answer. Like, why not just say what? So I could give you the punchline already.
I didn't know it was a joke.
So finally, had to came out and I'm like, oh, and I had to just give it to her.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I'm glad I gave up.
When you're in the hospital.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for you to do.
So I guess I cause trauma. That's I cause trauma. I'm sorry, Crystal. But I'm not going to say I won't do it again. Okay. It's just,
Oh my God.
So I'm one of those random people that'll think about something and text you at 3 o'clock in the morning. And not because I want you to answer it, it's just because I need to get it out.
You just need to get it out. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
So you can get to me whenever you're ready. However, I'm going to say it because I thought about it now.
I love it. As long as you're not one of those people who leaves like a 6 minute voice message.
Oh no, I don't leave voice messages.
Okay, good.
I don't. Wait a minute.
It's like,
I'm going to text her though. I will text the hell out your ass. And it might be like 6 paragraphs and you might need a couple of dictionaries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because wow. I have the, when I'm by myself, I do a lot of internal things as well. You know, so I tell people I've been on my healing journey, you know, because it's kind of like sobriety to me. You know, mm-hmm. It's like I'm not minimizing that lifestyle, but it is, you know, I was so used to being traumatized that I, like Crystal, lived in trauma, you know? So now I have to heal from that. And in order to heal from it is to have to disassociate myself with that. So me, in my way, I am working on my sobriety, you know, my sobriety of living in a life with no trauma or without the expense of trauma. You know? So it's a journey, but I've been going through it for about 2 years now, and I did it, and I started doing it, I say, the wrong way, because I didn't get any professional help. I just decided I need to heal. Let's go open up some boxes. And then there were skeletons in some of them that I shouldn't have faced alone. You know, but I did. But it's worth it. You know, it's been worth everything to me. But now I'm a little more kind of in tuned with kind of the correct way of doing things. Of course, this podcast has helped me. Talking to people like you have helped me. And I actually take what people say and like I utilize it. So a lot of things you talked about, I'll go home and I'll utilize it. And I see how can I incorporate it into my day. But it's still a lot of healing and a lot of brightness and things going there. But it takes me deep. And at that depth, I often find answers for other people. You know, like, hey, I was just going through this and it made me think about this situation for you. And this is what I found out. And so I take the time to text and explain all this to people. And they're like, why are you doing this to me?
Oh, oh man. They're like, someone's texting me at 3 a.m. What is this?
Right. They're like, why is Micah healing through text?
That's awesome. That's great, though. That's actually a further way of healing. It's actually expressing it to people and sharing the gems that you got out of it. That's like that's a further way of healing. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. And my thing, though, is that I can write better than I speak sometimes, because as you see, I get tongue twisted and then my brain has 150,000 million questions and I can only ask one. And do you know how hard that is? So just pick one in just that split second. You got all
because you questions. Asked her 5 questions in one.
She was like, I don't know how I answered anything. I don't know what I said.
You did amazing.
Okay, you thank know. You. Okay.
She was like, I'm gonna have to watch this podcast. Can you send it to me before you air it? But we're not. We're just gonna air it. Okay. But no, really. So you have been an amazing guest. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that, because I'm a fool, that we didn't get you to say or give to our audience, or anything you wanted to let them know?
Good question. I think we covered a lot of bases here. If people do want to find me, they can go to my website, ramanhari.com. I do have a free guide on there to shift anxiety and stress, which is a really, really good place to start. If people are wanting to, they're like, oh, I'm curious about this. It's a good place to start.
Awesome. Cool. And of course, we'll list all of your contact information and all those details. And don't be out there talk about do not go on these fucking feelings because they're crazy. She's like, as soon as she hang up, she's about to call somebody. Who are you going to call? Who's going to be the first person you call?
I know. I'm going to be like, guys, I need a trauma dump. No, I'm kidding. I need an hour after this hour. No, I'm kidding.
No, seriously, I know that I do it. I'm sorry. And somehow people watch us, right?
No, I loved being on. And I just love that we can laugh as well. I think sometimes when you're talking about healing, we're just like, do this and then do that. And it's like, man, the whole point of healing is to, at the end of the day, enjoy life, right? So why not laugh through it? So thank you guys for having me on. I love talking to you guys. This is so fun. I felt like I was just chilling with friends, you know?
Right. And that's the thing about healing too. You can always find a friend that you can relate to, that you can heal with. There are people out there
I don't know, healing has been so dope for me. My life has changed so much. You know, it's like I carry a lot of weight because I know what it's like not to know that I needed to heal. And I think that's my issue with let go of the people I love right now, because it's like I was dumb. I knew what it was to not even think I deserved healing or I deserved a moment of peace. So it's like, you know, it took me to do it for myself, and I know it's going to be the same for them. I know they eventually I'm going to have to and shit them out, you know.
Oh my god.
And let them go. But right now I'm gonna stay constipated and I'm gonna keep them with me because I feel like maybe, right, she was like, you is crazy.
No, I just keep, I'm like, man, it just keeps going back to the butt, man. Everything is,
that was the point though that time I did that.
No, I love it. I love it. That was intentional. Yeah.
Yeah, that was intentional. But you know what? It'd be really cool if I could contact you just to learn about using my own intuition. Like, I feel like I need to, like, learn how to know when it's okay to follow that gut feeling.
You know? Oh, my God.
I guess I got so used to never doing it. Yeah. You know, I grew up molested as a child, probably as long as I can remember. My first memories of being molested.
Wow.
So, and it went on to the time I was 14. And part of the reason why I allow it to happen so much is because they threatened to kill my mom and, wow, and those kind of things. And, you know, for a long time, I thought that it was something I needed to, like, keep within. My gut told me I needed to tell somebody, you know, but now it was at the risk of a family member, you know, and it's like,
wow.
And I think that tormented me to the part that even now today, I don't use my intuition or my gut feeling because I don't know, kind of like Crystal, if there's going to be a negative consequence.
Right. Like that guilt. It's like, well, if I do, will I be guilty for like something happening to someone I love?
Right. And so it's like learning to move past that has been my biggest battle. So I'm going to reach out to you and see what you can do.
For sure. I'll give you some pointers.
Yeah. All righty. Well, guys, we thank you so much for watching. We will see you next week. Thanks again for being gone. I mean, for being gone. For being on.
Okay. I was like, I've been here the whole time.
You've been gone. You was here, but you wasn't really here. No. Peace, love, and blessings, guys. See you next week.